I think we should all combine our three thoughts at the same time.
Okay. Okay, so okay. We have a Gregorian chant and a broken organ.
And a southern preacher.
Yeah, a southern preacher. Yeah.
Okay, and a 5, 6, 7, 8.
Can I get a hallelujah? Praise Jesus. Or whatever you worship.
Hey, man, look what I did. If you did it, would you do it like this?
That's not how I do it.
I've been working myself to the bone, trying to pay off my student loans.
That's not how I do it.
I like carrots in my stew and a sprig of parsley. How about you?
That's not how I do it.
Break it down.
Would you do it in a jacket? Would you do it in a hat?
Would you do it like this?
I'd do it like that. That's not how I do it.
Hello.
And welcome to That's Not How I'd Do It, the podcast where we tackle the most pressing issues in the world, fight over what went wrong, and come up with solutions so crazy they just might work. I'm Sam Chidley.
I'm James Miser.
And I'm Jared Sane.
And this week we are continuing with part two of our three-part series on religion. This week we're taking on the church. Wait, what do we worship? What's our religion?
Habuism.
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 Yeah.
If you have not listened to the first part of this series,
you're going to be totally lost.
Good luck.
Yeah, I listened to it and I still don't know what's going on.
Yeah. May Habu's
fortune smile upon you on this day of podcasting.
Yeah.
Podcast listening.
But, you know, when we started this journey to create our own religion, we each, like, set out some goals for ourselves. And, James, the one that I remember you picking out was that you wanted to use religion to consolidate power on Earth.
Yes.
And, I mean, like, if you're going to talk about how that works, I think you have to look at the church, right? I think
that's right.
The church is, like, you know.
Before we do that, let's do a quick recap of...
Of the text
of Habuism.
Yeah.
It's been a week.
Yep.
I've forgotten a lot of it.
Okay.
I'm sure that our listeners have as well.
Yeah, I've also forgotten a lot of it, but
okay, so pretty much there is a two-headed god whose name...
He's like a snake dragon thing.
He's a snake dragon. He's a snake dragon. And he's got Haha is one head and Boohoo is the other head. One represents fortune, the other misfortune.
Yeah.
Comedy, tragedy, that kind of a thing. So duality.
Yeah.
These two gods were super bored because they were just like playing cards with each other. And they're like, this sucks. We need something better to gamble on.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do?
They created us. They
created the universe.
Yeah.
And pretty much they're just hanging out in the astral plane.
Yeah.
Gambling over every part of our lives all the time.
Yeah.
Sam, would you say that Haha or Boohoo is winning the bets made against you, do you think?
I don't know. That's the, you know, we didn't really get into this too much. Let's think we might have to get into it today, but like your personal perception of fortune and misfortune, I don't know how that plays into it. Because while I might consider myself to be a very fortunate person, you know, somebody else might look at my circumstances and be like, oof, you know.
Yeah.
Not so fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
So
I guess it could be true that Haha keeps making bets on you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, he's going to, like, you know, things are going to go really well for Sam, but then it keeps losing them.
Good job, Sam.
Sorry. It's a creditor. While we were having this conversation.
I think Boohoo just collected some chips.
I know. Sorry, what were you saying, Jared?
I can't improve on that moment.
Okay, so we have these two gods. They're gambling every aspect of our lives. And pretty much what happens when you live your life, you have, you sort of like try and, the basic tenet of the religion is you try and keep a balance between fortune and misfortune.
Right.
Because if you leave this earth, if you die with too much fortune, then you have to balance that out in the afterlife by spending like time in a misfortunate situation.
Right.
Right. Like a proportionate amount of time.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes, because if the universe leans too far in either direction, then the game between fortune and misfortune will end. If one of them wins, then the
universe is over. Yep.
So we have to keep it balanced. There's an opportunity here to collect these beliefs into an institution.
That's right.
The church. Are we going to call it the Church of Habu?
Yeah, let's just keep it simple.
Yeah keep it simple. Okay. Well, let's get into that. Like, what makes a church a church? What do we need to do?
What makes a choich a choich?
Yeah.
A big gathering area.
Uh-huh. Big old gathering. Yeah, I definitely want it to be like one of those mega church style buildings.
Uh-huh.
Like if we're going to have, if we're going to try and compete with like established religions that are already around, we got to have something that's like really impressive.
Yeah. So you're saying
you just want like a VR church?
Well, no. So I want something that seems like it could last for a million years.
Okay, so
timeless.
We're speaking specifically about like the way the buildings look at this point, right?
I think I want to start with just
start
like a
with
place.
The start with the place. This is like that is the central idea of the church. Is like it's a place where people gather to worship.
It doesn't
worship
have to be a building.
It doesn't have to be a building, but I think that's what we're leaning towards, right? We want it to be something that's like
let's think about what that means, because I said pyramid. Jared has said a pit. Maybe it's both. Uh-huh. Maybe it's a pyramid on top of a pit.
Could be a giant roulette wheel.
Oh, that's kind of cool. It like rotates.
Yeah.
I think there's like something cool to like maybe you like have to flip a coin and then if you get like haha on one side of the coin, then you go to like a fun service. if you get boo hoo, then you go to like a real bummer of a service.
You go to like the fire and brimstone service.
Yeah.
Where it's all sadness and
so I think,
tragedy.
I think that kind of duality is kind of interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe it is something where it's sort of like
pyramid on a pit.
A pyramid on a pit. It's like a diamond shape where half the like the biggest part of the diamond is like ground level and it goes mm-hmm. both ways.
Yeah.
Just
like
Habu.
I want to
instead of a coin flip though, I do like the roulette wheel. So I think maybe when you walk into the church, you enter the roulette wheel, which is spun, and then depending on where you land.
Oh. Yeah, so right. So are we stick with red and black, or what colors best signify Habu? The roulette wheel is red and black.
I think tie-dye and plaid.
Tie-dye and plaid. Which one's which?
Tie-dye is more tragic to me.
Really?
I don't know. They're both a little...
They're both slightly tragic.
Are they?
And slightly comedic.
I like plaid
better than tie-dye on a personal level, but...
much rather wear plaid, yeah.
These are... That's not an immediately accessible, like, symbol.
What?
we could just do black and white.
Yeah, black and white. Or, like, yellow and blue or something. I don't know. Like, colors that people, like, connotate with an emotion.
Yeah, but some people are yellow-blue colorblind.
Ooh, that could be interesting. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Let's go red and black.
All right, red and black.
Like,
keep it simple.
Like the suits of a card.
Okay. So, all right. So you enter the church, and you have to... You can either pick red or black. So let's say...
I'm putting it all on red.
Let's say red is ha-ha, and black is boo-hoo.
Oh, actually, I like that you get to guess. Like, you're like, hey, I want red. And then that'll get you into the pyramid.
No,
and
so,
then you're spun.
Okay.
As the... You're actually the ball. Maybe.
Sounds uncomfortable.
No, this is what I was thinking too. So what I was thinking was like you have to like you the roulette wheel is inside the pyramid. It's the flat part between the top and the bottom.
Yes.
And you pick either red or black, and you get on the wheel. You don't pick. You're the ball, and like you're either going to get slotted into red or black, but you can place a bet over like whether it's gonna be red or black.
Guys, the line at this fucking door is gonna be insane. It's gonna take a million years for all of us to get in.
Hold on. There's another thing. There's one other thing. You can also bet on the number, right?
Oof.
So if you can be like really really lucky, and you could go to like the top of the pyramid if you like get your color and your number. But if you're like wrong, then you go to the bottom half.
Wait, so I'm literally a...
You're placing the bet and you're the ball.
Yeah, so this is like just roulette, except I'm a ball.
Yes.
So everybody who comes into this church has to like do this?
Yeah, I think so.
It does seem unrealistic.
Sounds like fun to me. Sounds like a ride. I don't know. You could do would you have to do one at a time? I don't know.
How about this? I like where you're going. I don't like the function of being both the chips and the ball.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What if I'm just the chips?
Okay.
Yeah.
So I pick like the number 69.
Okay. Sure. And it's not on a roulette wheel, but it will be in our church.
Yeah, it will be.
Well, because we're going to get rid of the zeros
uh-huh.
and put just 69 there instead.
It's going to be a much bigger wheel.
It's going to be a huge wheel because we need to have a ton of people.
Yeah.
So like everybody like stands where they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it works this way on a regular roulette wheel, but like it'll be like evens are reds, odds are blacks,
okay,
something like that. And then there's a giant ball that yes. rolls down into a giant roulette wheel.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And then, like, that's like the beginning of the ceremony. And then, depending on where it lands, like, if it lands on black, then everybody who's black gets to go up to the fun service.
Yeah.
On, like, because the where you're standing, the numbers are also, like, elevators.
Ooh, that's cool.
Ah,
so,
I like that.
So, like, you either, like, depending on if it's black or red, it goes up or down. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
And then if your number gets picked, mm-hmm. Then you get to, I don't know, what do you get to do?
You get a cake.
Yeah. Yeah, you get a cake.
You get a cake.
And coffee.
Uh-huh.
Cake,
yeah. Coffee. You go to the, but that's at the top of the pyramid. That's like the,
there's like box seats.
Yeah. You're going to have like a really good service.
Yeah.
That sounds super fun.
If you win.
Well, either way, like, I don't know. Like, I think even, like, the part of, like, deciding whether you're going to go up or down is, I think that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I mean, I don't know. There's something about this religion that I've always felt like was kind of, like, fatalist mixed with chance. And so, I don't know, which is, like, a weird, two ideas that's, like, weird to hold those side by side. I don't know. Just like the idea of like being like, well, I could be going to the good place or I could be going to the bad place. We'll just see where the ball lands today.
Yeah.
Well,
And there's a, you know, a little bit of agency in that you get to decide which.
Yeah.
It's false though.
I think. Yeah.
It's rigged.
But it feels like agency.
Yeah.
Oh, the agency is false. Yeah. Right. Cause it's chance which decides chance. Where the ball is going to land. So I think this is a great way of getting into the service. I think now we need to decide what the services look like. Have we figured mm-hmm. out, have we completely figured out the building? Is that, are we done with that? It's a pyramid set on a, like a
here's another
mirrored pit.
Here's another thing I would like to do to the building itself, and to an extent to these like numbers that go up and down.
Yeah,
these elevator style numbers. I think that if you're going down, rather than it just bringing you down regular wise, it also inverts you, so you're hanging by your feet. So it's like they're like.
And it's more unpleasant.
It's more unpleasant, and it's also a total mirror of the other.
That's a good point.
Of the fortune.
Yeah.
Version of the service.
Everything is upside down.
Everything's
it's
upside down.
A pyramid shaped pit.
Yeah. Yeah. But gravity still works the same way, so it's
that's
really,
right. It's not fun.
It's not fun to be in an upside down place where gravity is going against you.
Yeah. But maybe we can do something so that like the blood doesn't like totally.
Right. You don't black out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know what that is. Maybe we like suck some blood up through your feet. I don't know.
It's not a pleasant service. It really isn't.
I think you can hang upside down for a long time without blacking out.
You think so?
I don't know.
What if you're really old?
It's just my gut feeling. I have no knowledge or evidence.
I feel like you, Jared, could hang upside down indefinitely. But
yeah,
I don't know if
face
like my
would get red.
I don't know about like my like if my grandma
right.
was like. Got into the bad service and
yeah.
had to like hang upside down for like 3 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Oh. Yeah, how long is the service gonna be? 3 hours is
well, yeah, this is like for my wedding. So
okay. Oh. Hoboist mass.
Yeah.
I see. There's still the roulette wheel for the
I've always wanted to have a traditional wedding.
I wonder what a Habu wedding would look like. Like would the reverend just be like, well, it could go either way.
I think so. Like, yeah.
It's like, there's really no guarantees that this is going to work.
I think you do. Anyone now, you know, wants to object or forever hold your peace, and then no one objects. Mm-hmm. And then the reverend is like, and now Habu will have his say. Or he's not a, its say.
It's,
Habu will have its say.
Yeah.
And then there's a big old ceremonial coin
mm-hmm.
that's flipped. And if it's ha-ha, then you get married. If it's boo-hoo, wedding's off.
Wow.
I don't know about that, though, because I feel like it's not... That's like inserting the religion into the ceremony in a way that's artificial to like how the religion works. I think it's sort of like... it's more that like they're betting on you, but like you're not
like if it's
privy
go well.
To it. You know, it's like...
Right. Right, you don't know what their bets are.
But I think a ceremonial coin flip would be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
maybe it's a coin flip, and it always lands on its edge.
Mm. It's like a
trick
coin.
It's a trick coin. Yeah.
Yep. And then maybe it lands on the edge, and then the newlyweds get to kick it over, so it lands with haha heads.
Oh, that's
heads
nice.
Down. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the Mazel Tov moment.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to, I like when I got married, it would have been cool to kick over a giant coin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all right. So that's like a really...
You know, you're gonna hear like the story of like, you know, the ha-ha boo-hoo coin like tragedy where it like falls over onto the newlyweds right before they kick it.
Oh.
Well,
ironic.
That's Habu's will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a kind of a fun, happy day. I'm wondering what a funeral would look like.
It's like, oh, he had a very fortunate life, so we know he's in misery now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much. Or rejoice, his misfortune has ended, and he is now bathed in the glory of goodwill.
Here's an idea based sort of on what you were saying, Jared. You know how in like in Chinese culture, there's like ghost money that you can burn to give your deceased relatives like fortune in the afterlife.
Sure.
What if you think that the person who died had a fortunate life and is therefore being punished in the afterlife.
Yeah.
You can, like, punch them.
Yeah, you gotta do,
punch their corpse.
Unfortunate things to their body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To, like...
Absolutely.
To, yeah. like, make sure that
you
they...
like, draw, like, a dick on his face.
You, like, rifle like, through their
yeah.
wallet,
yeah.
steal something.
Yeah. Post, like, some... phony posts to their like social media accounts.
Yeah, like really I have diarrhea.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then in the afterlife their punishment will be less.
Yeah. That's really fun. I like that idea a lot. Like this is like to honor the dead.
you have to do mean things to them.
You have to do mean things to
steal their identity.
Yeah. Right.
Open up a bunch of bank credit cards.
Yeah.
And if they had a misfortunate life, you just bury the body and forget about it?
No, you do nice things. Oh, no. No, you wouldn't. Because maybe you would do even more misfortunate things so they have even longer time.
Yeah, I think pretty much any way you cut it, you want them to have a more fortunate afterlife, so you're always going to be
you're
doing...
You're always doing mean shit.
Mean things to their corpses.
That's a nice way to remember
it's
them.
It's a good ceremony. It sounds like a really communal event.
Yeah.
Get like, you know, like the grandchildren involved.
I never loved you, Grandpa.
Yeah. Run,
like
now run up and kick your granddad.
Exhumation of the body. And then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You would definitely want to like shit on their corpse.
Oh,
or like on their. Or like on Memorial Day, you'd want to like dance on their tombstone or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that, like burying the body, like that. You like carry all the pallbearers like carry the coffin out to like the plot,
and they're like,
and
this
they just
guy...
like dump it out, and, like just dump a corpse into the hole.
I think they're the
right,
whole time.
Well, you really hope that they trip or that they
yeah
that they're misfortunate on the way,
right? Yeah,
yeah. The whole time they're like cracking jokes, like could have laid off on a few of those Big Macs, Dad.
Yeah, and if it rains at your funeral, that's like really good. You know, it's like everybody that goes there like has to like stand in the rain. And maybe if some people get sick, like all this bodes very well for you in the afterlife.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah, this all sounds right to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we're getting at something that religion does like across different cultures is they all have like these like rituals. So we just talked about weddings, we talked about funerals. Are there like other like religious like rituals that we want to think about for our church?
Yeah.
I feel like we could have like a yearly pilgrimage, you know, to like a Mecca or a Jerusalem or
something. To the egg, to the eggshell.
Yeah.
To Reptilex's eggshell.
Where was that again?
It was in Virunga.
Okay, that's right. So there's like all these like pilgrims that, you know, like walk to Virunga and find like where the hatching took place.
Yeah.
There's like a big statue of an egg there or something.
Yeah.
Okay. I think only the most devout are going to do that. That's like a...
Yeah.
I don't think that's a yearly thing. I think that's like you try to do it once in your life.
Makes sense. I mean, yeah. It's hard to get to.
Yeah.
It's on top of a mountain.
Yeah.
And also guarded by Abraham Lincoln's descendants.
Yeah.
A bunch of sentient apes who don't want you to be there.
A bunch of like gambling apes.
Yeah, it's like an opium den.
Ape not bet on ape. I'm wondering like what kind of like rituals that people incorporate into their daily lives. Not just like these like stand up moments in their lives, but
yeah.
Prayer before dinner.
Yeah, in Islam, like, you know, you have to like pray facing Mecca and you do it like five times a day or whatever. Like, are there things like that that we want to use? Like where you have something that you're doing that reaffirms your faith in Almighty Habu and his prophet Reptilex?
Well, I think five times a day is just overwhelming. Mm-hmm. That's too much for me. So I wouldn't want to impose that.
How often do we pray to Habu?
Do we pray to him?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think you like pray to one or the other, maybe.
Yeah, you pray to one or the other.
Yeah. You pray.
I think it's something that you just pray twice a day.
Twice a day?
Once to one, once to the other.
So like in the morning, do you like pray to Haha, be like, this is going to be a good day? And then and you're like, it was not a good day. I'm praying to Boohoo.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
That feels right to me.
Yeah.
it seems dead on.
You start off optimistic. Yeah, and then
by the end of the day, you're just like, I'm going to have a great afterlife.
Yeah. I think that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Twice a day.
Okay,
or multiples of two. If you want to be extra devout, then be extra devout and do four times a day.
Right, but you have to be balanced, right?
You have to be balanced.
Trying to stay balanced.
Yeah.
So you got to pray to both. What does that look like? Like in Christianity, we have like the Lord's Prayer, but I don't really know what our prayer would look like to Habu.
Right, do we want to do like a little shrine thing, like a Buddhist shrine? Everyone has like a little one in their house. You could burn like an incense stick.
We gotta find some symbols first. So we have the coin.
Uh-huh.
We've got the egg that Reptilex came out of.
Right.
We've got the two-headed dragon god.
Mm. Yeah.
Yep.
You know what? That could be like a finger trap.
Your finger trap?
Yeah, that's that reminds me of. It's like a finger trap. Like you have your...
Like you put your finger, one finger in each head.
Sure.
The roulette wheel.
Yeah, that seems like a big part of our... Religion is gambling iconography.
That could be part of the prayer ceremony, like your private prayer ceremony. You have like a little
interesting.
Roulette wheel.
How about this? It's a roulette wheel, and but the ball never falls, and it always just keeps going in the wheel, symbolizing our lives.
Yeah. You know what I was just thinking of? Like when I was trying to think of like what would our religious art look like? I went to like dogs playing cards.
Yeah. I thought of the those paintings that you see in like malls of like martini olives that have like arms and legs.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a really fun religion, guys. I like it. But we need to have, when we're talking about symbols and we're talking about prayer and daily rituals, I feel like they need to be things that are small enough that we can keep with us, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's like rosary beads is a thing. Like people wear like a cross on a chain on their neck.
Like a coin is good.
A coin. That's you keep that in your pocket.
You can keep that in your pocket. You can flip it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You put it on a necklace. You could put a roulette wheel or a ball on a necklace.
Yeah. Or dice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Dice could.
I like that.
There's a lot of pretty much any sort of gambling thing is now a symbol for our religion.
You know what I like? I like, because I think that religion has a tendency to break into different like subgroups, like sects. So I feel in our church of Habu, like there'd be like, you know, the sect that has like a roulette wheel, and there's like the ones that are always playing cards.
Yep.
There's the ones that just like want to play craps.
Yep.
And then within like the people who play cards, there's like all these different card games.
Mm-hmm.
So they just like have all very slight different interpretations of what it means to gamble on fortune and misfortune.
Yeah.
But we do need to establish the canonical, like, rituals, I think. Because otherwise, how will James exert influence and gain power?
Right. That's right. Right, right, right. What is the rock upon which this church is built?
I think the chief symbol is going to be the coin, because it's like two-sided.
Yeah. 50-50 chance.
50-50. Anybody, like, we can make millions of them, and they'll be super fucking cheap.
Yeah.
To manufacture. And people can keep them with themselves.
Yeah. I think it's like something that's you get that at church.
You get that at church.
$10.
For the basic one, I mean,
you're gonna make people pay. I guess you do have to make.
If you want to be a really devoted follower of Habu, then you
have to buy
fork
like
over
a really, like, nice one. That's like gold.
Yeah, it's like gold plated and has like diamonds for the eyes of the dragons.
Yeah. So all that money that goes towards the fancy coins, I'm assuming that's going to the church.
It's going to me.
Yeah. Like, I'm a little bit. I'm interested in how, like, this church is structured, like where the money's going and like how the message is getting sent down to like sub churches. Like, I don't really, how does that work in our system? Are you like the Pope?
I don't want to be the Pope, but I want there to be a Pope like figure. That answers to me.
Yeah. He's like your puppet.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm in the back.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Pulling the strings.
Right. So there's like this like religion on earth that exists, and it's called Habuism.
Yeah.
People have all these beliefs, and you, James, are like, okay, I know what to do here. I'm going to like get people to start coming to my church. And like to do that, I've got this like figurehead. Who is that? The person
who's
going to...
Abraham.
That's the person... Because whoever that is, that's the person who has to like get it started and like get people to start congregating.
Right.
So it's Abraham?
It's Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln is the first... Pope of Habu.
Yeah.
Are we sticking with Pope? We want to change that title.
We need to change
the title.
Feel
like the Catholics own Pope.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want it to be like a call it the Pope, because then it just sounds like we're copying them.
Yeah. Although they do have a pretty good model for consolidating power.
Well, he's like a ape or gorilla or something like that. So maybe he's like the silverback of the church.
The silverback. Okay. Okay.
Is that patriarchal?
I don't know.
Probably.
Silverback gorillas.
Are they all males?
Yeah.
Because I think if we're setting up this church from the ground up, we don't have to be biased.
Maybe, because he's a talking ape, but I don't want to restrict this like Pope like figure to only being talking apes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we call him like the dealer.
Ooh, that's good.
Ah, yeah,
yeah. Oh, and the church is the house. The house.
Oh, that's a good
the
name.
House of
that's
Habu.
Better than
the house of Habu.
The house of Habu.
Yeah.
Oh, it even has that alliteration going on.
Yeah. The house of Habu.
The house of Habu.
You never beat the house. House always wins.
House always wins. That's right. Yeah.
That's like, but a good, like, you know, like a religious, you know, I don't know what you'd call that.
Aphorism. Say,
Yeah. Like the house always wins.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the dealer. Abraham Lincoln is the first dealer of the House of Habu. How does he...
Or is he the croupier?
No, I think he's the dealer.
Or what's the roulette person?
That's a croupier.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you have a croupier, but that's just
that's
someone
like a,
at each
Oh, that's like,
at
a,
each
like
house.
A... Okay, yeah. So at each church...
Are we calling the pyramid pits still a church or the
it's
house?
It's the house.
Now?
It's the house.
Yeah.
The
okay.
house.
At each house, there's a croupier who pulls the lever to release the giant roulette wheel ball.
Yeah. But I don't think that's like the person who's like leading the sermon.
No, it's not.
No.
I don't know. Would you call? Because it's like for dealer, you think of like mostly cards. But I guess you could think about it in terms of other games. Because like our primary symbol is the coin.
Yeah.
And there's not really like a person that you identify with like a coin toss.
He's the tosser.
Yeah. I think I should call him the tosser. Oi! Who's a tosser? Abraham Lincoln's a tosser.
he's a flipper.
I don't know. I'm fine with dealer, even though it's not like I don't think it has to be like specific to cards.
I think I like dealer because it means it's like somebody who's subservient to the house.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They like work for the house.
Exactly. He's. I think that the dealer does have.
But is the dealer then seems to me more like the person who's going up and talking rather than the person who's in charge of the whole thing. Like the dealer
it
seems like
head dealer maybe.
So at each house there is a dealer, right? He's not the head of the church.
So the head of the church is maybe what, like the pit manager?
No, I feel like, I don't know.
He's like the Andy Garcia character from
Ocean's Eleven. Well, because there's like pit bosses that just like walk the floor. But
that's like the that's like a deacon level.
Bishop.
Yeah, yeah, I feel like that's like somebody who, you know,
the pit boss.
Yeah, they're like maybe an archbishop.
Yeah,
is a pit boss. So each house has a dealer. Like each region has a pit boss. And who's the head of the House of Habu? Who's the head of, like, when we talk about the House of Habu, like, as an institution?
Steve Wynn.
No. No, he's not.
The Steve Wynn is Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
What's his title? What's Abraham Lincoln's title?
Well, I mean, it is, like, the owner of a casino would be analogous, but we don't want to call the leader of this institution the owner.
Steve Wynn.
No, I don't think we want either of those things because the church doesn't belong to him, you know?
Yeah.
It's still higher than he is. It could be like something like the grand dealer or something like that. You could just like, you know, level it up.
Yeah.
He could be the coin, the great coin.
The great coin.
The great coin. Or the coin master.
The coin master.
The coin star.
The coin master. I mean, like, because he would also be in charge of all the money.
No, I'm in charge of the money.
Master of coin. Yeah, but nobody knows that.
Yeah, it's true.
This is like a puppet government.
Yeah, let's go with that.
What are we going with?
The coin master.
The coin master?
Yeah.
Coin master.
I was going to say, what about if he's called Habu's thumb because he's flipping the coin?
That's pretty good.
Ooh.
The thumb of Habu.
I like the thumb just because it's such a silly image. And you could get a pretty good costume out of that, you know, like
for sure. It's like a because he's a dragon's thumb, so he's got to have like a big old claw on it.
Yeah,
and that's definitely gonna be the hat.
Yeah.
Okay. I like the thumb. It's like one of those things. Like it's you have to explain it, but then once you do, like it's pretty easy to get. And then like it's
not
pretty...
really. I mean, if our religion is as successful as Catholicism, like I don't know what the Pope means.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
And in fact, if I heard the thumb, I'd have a better idea than if I heard the Pope and had no context.
Right. So his full title is the Thumb of Habu, but most people just refer to him
as the thumb.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so at the beginning of this institution, James, you've worked out a deal with Abraham Lincoln as the first thumb of Habu to found the House of Habu. And now you're like gathering together your closest disciples to become your like pit bosses.
Yep.
To set up houses of Habu all over the world, each with their own dealer.
That's right.
To spread the good word.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
So is that like the basic power structure?
That's it.
Of how the church works?
Okay. Yeah, it's a pyramid scheme.
And then it's a pyramid scheme. It is literally
a pyramid
scheme.
Each level has to pay financial penance, essentially.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Because you want to get a lot of money out of this deal.
I mean, should we consider just making each house an actual casino? where people are just like...
Here's what I think you can do.
Because they're pretty profitable.
It's profitable, but here's the thing is you put in your own money.
Uh-huh.
You don't get real money back.
Right.
You get Habu chips.
Habu chips.
Yeah.
No, this is such a scam. This is such a fucking scam. I love it. People will definitely do it. This is like religion at its best.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So you bring in your own money for Habu chips.
Habu chips.
Yeah.
And then you don't gamble on like
you know
the
when
normal
you
games.
You know when you cash out your Habu chips? When you die.
Yeah, that's right.
that's
right.
Yeah.
Cash out when you die.
So like the idea is to like collect as many Habu chips before you die as possible.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you don't gamble on like blackjack or like Texas Hold'em or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You gamble on the same kinds of things that Habu would gamble on.
Mm-hmm.
You look at like you gamble on like current events.
Uh-huh. These are more like proposition bets,
mm-hmm.
where sort of like,
yeah.
you know, I bet like I bet so and so is going to win this election, or
yeah.
you know, I bet you know North Korea is going to fire a nuke, or you know mm-hmm. whatever.
Well, I think within a house though, you could also make bets to like help out. You know, your fellow believers that also go to that house. So say someone's having a rough time at work, people could put up a prop bet being like, hey, I'm going to bet like 10 Habu chips.
Yeah, I believe in you.
And I think it's going to work out well for that person because they're either going to, you know, have fortune fall upon them.
Yeah.
Or the person who bet on them loses the bet and gives them their 10 10 Habu chips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they had wagered.
That's right.
So. Sounds good. I like that there's always like a balancing act going on.
That's right.
In this religion. I really like that.
That's how the world is.
Yeah. It's all about balance.
Right. The only unbalanced part is that
I'm taking all the money up to James.
Right. This is what everybody believes is happening. But what's really happening is James is just getting super rich and powerful.
It takes a lot of money to keep all of these pyramids open.
Yeah. Yes, it does. It's true.
There's a lot of electricity running these elevators.
Yeah.
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 Right. No, nobody's saying that there aren't like real demands that have
to be met.
There's
like some real costs that I'm, you know, like forking money over to
and
pay for.
There's also like you are doing some theoretically real good in the world with your religion.
It's a religion, yeah.
So
not paying any taxes, that's for sure.
So there's that to be right. You're not paying taxes. It's a pretty sweet spot you've put yourself in, James.
Hey.
Yeah.
I want to get into what like a service looks like.
Okay.
So we know pretty much like you go in, you pick a number, you stand on it, the giant roulette ball comes down, spins in the wheel, it lands on a number. If you chose the right, it's either on a red or a black as well. If it's on the right color, then you get to go either up to the fortune service or down to the misfortune service. So we know there's two dealers that are doing concurrent services.
Right.
But what does it look like, guys?
Right. So you have the ha-ha service and the boo-hoo service.
Yeah.
So the ha-ha service is probably very uplifting, probably very funny.
I think it's super funny.
You know, it's kind of like at like a...
Like, I think at like the main...
Is there going to be like worship music? Are you going to do like a thing like that? More from
we're gonna have some sort of...
Influence.
Some sort of music. I'm not quite sure what, but I think that definitely we're going to, at least in terms of the ha-ha service, we're going to have some great comedians coming in.
Yeah, I mean, I think the ha-ha service is like a whole act, you know? Like, you think the warm-up guy, you know, comes out and gets you started.
So if you're like going to the ha-ha service, then you get, like Dave Chappelle comes in and like does a set.
Yeah.
He does like 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. If you go to the boo-hoo service, there's also a stand-up comedian, but they're just really bad.
Okay.
It is, like, torturous.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know.
It's like an open mic, yeah.
I don't, oh, man.
They're saying stuff that's just, like, offensive and racist for no reason.
Uh-huh. So I don't know if it's the exact mirror opposite of, like, it's just like, all right, it's like a bad stand-up comedian. I feel like it's more like going to a lecture, you know, where you've got somebody on the podium and they're just like, these are all the things that are wrong with you. You know, like... It should be a torturous experience to sit through, but I don't know if it's quite
hang through.
Yeah,
because you're not sitting.
Oh, right, that's right. You're also being like suspended.
You're upside down. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I think it's less interesting if it's just an exact mirror. I'm with Sam on this. I think there should be something a bit different.
Okay. Let's see. So, but is it
maybe
is
bats
it somebody
flying around too?
Yeah, I think bats are cool. It's definitely in a cave-like atmosphere.
Why are there bats?
It's in a cave-like atmosphere.
All right. Yeah. Okay. I do like it being in a cave.
And why do we pick ourselves up, Master Wayne?
That's not how it goes.
Nope, that's not how it goes.
So we could fall down.
So we could fall down again.
Yeah.
That's
boo-hoo.
That's the boo-hoo version.
Yeah. I feel like there's got to be a lot of crying going on in the boo-hoo service. It's got to be a lot of like self-pity. You know, like,
yeah. Okay. So I like that. I don't really want somebody to say like, this is what you did wrong.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't think that's what it's about.
That's true.
It's not about like you did this wrong.
You're right. It's not moralizing.
It's like misfortune happens.
Yeah.
It's okay to like, and then everybody just starts wailing.
Oh God. I'll never get that raise. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wallow in your misfortune.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's wallowing more than like being chastised.
That'd be great. Just hundreds of people just like wailing.
It's kind of cathartic.
I would get something out of that.
Yeah. It's great.
You're just upside down just like, in this dark pit with bats flying around. Yeah. And everyone's just like crying.
I feel like that is going to have...
And then maybe there's a recap, though, of all the misfortunate things that happened in the world that week.
Yeah, so I was thinking that there's like an aspect that's going to look kind of like those like big tent churches where people like come up on the stage and like testify. So it's like, okay, you'd have like people, they'd be like invite people up onto like, or down, I guess, onto like the, you know, the I don't know what it looks like a podium or
it's like a parapet.
Yeah. And they get to like testify how terrible their life is that week.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
There's everyone, like guest speakers.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Talking about like, yeah. And then there's like, yeah, there's guest speakers, but all of them have just like some really serious misfortune has befallen them.
Yeah.
It's just like sob stories.
Yeah.
Everyone wallows.
Everyone wallows. That's one of our tenets.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Good.
Everyone wallows and everyone laughs.
Uh-huh.
I was honestly worried that the pit was going to be like so such a horrible experience that people wouldn't want to join.
No, they're going to love it. I mean,
it's like part of this like duality where like we're acknowledging, you know, life is terrible sometimes.
Life is terrible, and so that's like it's okay to feel terrible about it.
Yeah, because like maybe next time you'll be in the haha service.
Yeah,
yeah,
and maybe you will just like spend an entire year just picking the wrong numbers.
Yeah, but that's going to work out for you after you die.
Yeah,
that's right.
You will be rewarded in the afterlife.
But on both sides, is there still gambling? Because we're getting these like haha and boohoo chips.
I think that the gambling happens outside of like
the service itself.
The service itself. Okay. And that's like sort of, maybe it's
there's like a reception.
That's sort of like, yeah, is reception. That like, that's like the middle floor with the roulette on it. Like it, like everybody is gambling on an equal plane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. It's like if you took two Luxor casinos. The Luxor Casino is going to be our first house of Habu.
Just dig a pit.
Just dig a pit into it. Yeah. I think it might already have a pit, really? Honestly. Yeah.
This is all
I've always
stuff.
Loved the Luxor Casino since I was a kid. I was like, that place looks cool.
How does... So Abraham Lincoln, he's the first thumb.
Yeah, he's the thumb.
I'm wondering like how power is transferred. Like, because you need this... Our church needs to have longevity throughout the ages.
Yeah.
So we need to have, like, kind of a system in place for...
It's random.
...keeping the hierarchy in place.
It's random.
What do you mean it's random?
It's totally random. There is a list of all the people who believe in Habu, and then after Abraham Lincoln dies, it's just a randomization machine picks one of them.
It's like a lottery.
Yeah.
Okay. But will they be subservient to you?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Mm.
You have a method for making sure that there's not, like, some rebel... takes the thumb?
Brainwashing.
You know, I think the only way that's going to work is if you have a visible role that...
I already have all the money.
...that even the thumb doesn't understand what you're really doing. Like, if you're like the hand of the thumb.
The hand of the thumb.
You know, like you're an... you're like an advisor to the thumb. The hand of the thumb. And so you're like telling the thumb how to lead the house, but really you're serving your own interests. So like when the thumb dies and a new thumb is appointed via lottery, they will defer to your guidance.
I think they'll have to, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying like you need to have like a public role.
I don't know. I don't know how much of a... Here's the thing, is I kind of feel like the thumb is mostly just like speechifying.
Uh-huh.
Like they don't really do that much.
They set policy.
No, and I set policy.
Right. But the believers think that the thumb is setting policy. If they think the thumb is the actual head of the church, then like the speeches they give are like that's what, you know, the direction of where the house of Habu is going, you know. You know, it's like whether or not it's going to like keep up with the times, or if it's going to be conservative.
If
it's going to hedge its bets,
the good thing
or
about
go all in
about Habu about Habuism is that it's both things all the time.
You know? Right.
Well, I guess if you didn't like the thumb, you could just have him murdered or her.
Good point.
Yeah.
So and just be like, tragedy befalls us all sometimes. Even the thumb.
Even the thumb.
Yeah.
We just went through three thumbs in 2 weeks. Who shall be chosen?
But they will have a glorious, fortunate afterlife, all of them.
Yeah.
Actually, that could be, that probably could be a running theme that all the thumbs would probably be very misfortunate people because they're so devout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, in that case, we need to make some sort of, like, I don't know. I guess like in Christianity, there's like the sins, like deadly sins.
Yeah,
we need to make that for the church.
Yes,
because like I think that like you're right. Like religious texts are up to interpretation quite a bit because they're oftentimes written in arcane languages and
times change
and are ambiguous to begin with.
Yeah,
but I think that we need to have some rules.
Mm. Absolutely.
For Habuism.
Absolutely. I think that's going to be the thing that like binds it together as an institution.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think the first thing that I want to do is, the first rule, I would say, is, or tenet, or whatever, is something where it's like, misfortune and fortune befall us, but the world is random, not the person.
What do you mean?
You know, like... if you just are doing everything based on a coin toss, that's not right.
Right.
Because...
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Like, you need to live your life as you're living it.
Right. You have agency.
You have agency.
So it's like... Oh, this. I mean, the roulette wheel is a pretty good metaphor for that, right? Like, you get to choose what space you stand on.
You pick
on,
the number.
But that's... Like, anything can happen after that.
Yeah.
So it's like you have agency that does affect the outcome, but it's not like you have control.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's not really like a rule. I think that's a belief.
Well, we need to
have things
formalize
that
it into a rule then.
Like if you don't, I don't know. All right, how do you articulate that? Like if you don't exercise autonomy, like if you don't, I'm not really sure what it looks like to break that rule. Like if you're leaving your decisions up to chance, like that's a sin.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's something for the house to sort of codify.
Maybe, okay, maybe it's something
essential
like...
tenant.
Yeah, maybe it's something along the lines of, like, chance belongs to Habu, not to the followers.
That's very well said, James. Chance belongs to Habu. I like it.
You know, so if you're, like, doing things based on chance, like, you think you're better than
Habu. Wow, I love Habu. It. What are we calling that? That's our first, what, house rule?
Yeah.
First house rule.
Yeah.
Chance belongs to Habu.
Second house rule, jokers are wild. Yeah. That one's up to for interpretation, but
right, right. Some of them have to be arcane.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. All right, so chance belongs to Habu. Jokers are wild. All right, so yeah, we need to have some stuff that like if you break it, it's you're gonna be like looked down upon in the church.
Yeah.
Not in a way that's like, oh, you're misfortunate. And you'll have a fortunate afterlife, but it'll be sort of like you're not following.
You're being a bad Habuist.
You're being a bad Habuist. So let's think of a few more, because I think that one's really good because that solves our problem of like, well, what is this? What's this church like driving at? You know, like
right.
If like we don't want to have the thumb of Habu just flipping a coin all the time.
Yeah, that's not right.
And we don't want to have people like going through the world leaving like, everything to chance.
Right.
So that's good. What else, but like, what are some other? How does this religion operate in our day to day lives that we can set rules upon it?
Yeah,
and also things that people are likely to break, because that's like the if you're talking about consolidating power, a big part of that is like, well, this is going to be something that they're likely to break, feel bad about it,
mm-hmm.
and go to church so they can be told that they, you know,
yeah, be forgiven or be told to like do some sort of penance.
Right, and we have to figure out how that works in with our. You know,
yeah,
duality of like fortune and misfortune.
Right, right. So we're gonna have to come up with some more rules, and then we have to figure out what to do if people break them.
Yes. Yeah.
How do you atone for your sins against Habu?
Right. Okay. So rules.
Yeah, Jared, you got any
house
I've
rules?
I've been thinking. I don't. It's tough coming up with rules.
No cheating.
Yeah. No cheating.
That one's pretty straightforward. Like you play the cards you're dealt.
Yeah, you play the cards you're dealt.
Yeah,
that's good. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no cheating, no card counting, no loaded dice,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all, I mean, but it like that's, you know, you interpret that to mean like, you know, you take your lot in life and you do the best you can with it, but like your agency has limits.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't, you know, you can't take somebody else's good fortune away from them to excel your own.
Right.
Or like you can, but like you shouldn't. That's like, that's cheating.
Yeah. That all counts as cheating.
Yeah.
No early cash outs.
That's like an anti-suicide
thing. No suicide.
I guess it could be interpreted that way.
I'm not sure because, like, I'm not sure.
I was thinking most of this is a rule about the chips of Habu.
Mm-hmm.
That you're collecting all these things, right?
Yeah.
But you can't actually. You can't, say, like, something.
They're not redeemable for cash.
Well, something that might happen is that it could be like a black market that gets established with with these. Because, you know, people are going to get a lot of chips and they're going to be like, oh, I need actual money. So maybe I can sell some of my chips of Habu.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So that would be a false church, essentially.
Yeah.
If they were exchanging chips outside of the church, or if they were gambling outside of the church, you know?
Yeah, there may be a false church. There's only one house.
There's only one house. There's only one house. There's only one house, and it's the house of Habu. Yeah. Okay.
I think we need to address, like, people need to have need to credit both Habu and Boohoo.
Yeah.
There needs to be some sort of, like, rule that's like, you can't favor one over the other.
Right, because otherwise people definitely will.
Yeah.
You'll have, like, the people who only pray to Boohoo and other people that only pray to Haha.
Yeah.
And I think that leads us to religious wars. We should try to head that off at the pass.
Yeah, yeah. Because we don't want to, like, have this, like, schism in the church of, like, Haha-ists and Boohooists.
Right. That will just... They'll just be at war for centuries. Okay. So how do we codify that?
I mean, it's something like saying, like, if you cut off one head, the other dies as well.
Oh, that's kind of good. But I don't want people to think that you can cut off either of their heads.
Right.
Right.
Because they're gods. There is only one god, and their names are Ha and Boohoo.
I mean, that is sort of the two heads, one god.
Right.
Yeah, two heads, one god.
Two heads, one god.
That's okay. That's the next
very simple way to say it.
Two heads, one god.
Yeah.
Two heads, two thumbs. No, there's only one. I guess there's only one thumb.
There's only one thumb. It's a really weird looking god. It's very strange. I don't even want to think about where the thumb is, you know? Like, is it in the middle somewhere? Yeah.
Well,
the
thumb could have been its only thumb that it passed down.
Uh-huh.
And so now
the
god no longer has any thumbs or appendages.
Whatever. Can we do a recap on our rules real quick? I'm losing count. So we've got the first one was what?
The first one was that chance belongs to
Habu.
Habu.
Jokers are wild.
Jokers are wild.
No cheating.
Two heads, one dot.
Two heads, one god.
One god.
Two heads, one god. I like that. Sounds like a YouTube video.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it sounds like a YouTube video. It sounds like a video of some kind. Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. What else?
You think four is enough?
I think four is enough.
Four is enough.
Yeah.
The four house rules.
Mm-hmm. The house rules.
Nobody really knows how to interpret Jokers are wild, but it's there.
But everyone knows.
Yeah.
Jokers are wild.
Yeah.
Jokers are wild.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you break one of these rules. What happens? Do you go to the dealer and
confess?
Confess that you've
no. That's too Catholic.
That you've cheated.
I think that misfortunes against the house don't count towards fortune in the afterlife.
Uh-huh.
Because you're trying to cheat the house out of its. Because the house should always win, right?
Yeah. Oh, right. That's our fifth house rule, is the house always wins.
The house always wins.
Which makes sense. No, so this makes sense. Because, so if you have this belief system where, like, if you experience misfortune in life, you have fortune in the afterlife, or vice versa, then, like, you shouldn't be able to believe that and be, like, if you're expelled from the church, you don't still get to have a good afterlife.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there is a limit to this fortune-misfortune balance, and the limit is... The house always wins,
right?
So if you're trying to cheat, that's against the house. If you're only praying to one head of Habu, that's against the house. If you don't recognize that jokers are wild, you're not following the house rules. And you, like, if you break enough of these rules, you're gonna get kicked out. They're gonna give you the bum rush right out the door.
Yeah.
Oof. Expulsion.
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 Okay, so there are, like, some, like, moral limits to this religion, and it's that, like, you have to be consistent with the house rules. Now, expulsion is pretty drastic. I'm just, like, wondering if there's, like, other reprimands somewhere between, you know.
Yeah, I think that Jared had some good thoughts on, like, giving up some of your hobby chips.
Mm-hmm.
There could also be, like, penance that's sort of, like, you have to keep rolling dice until you get... Snake Eyes 50 times in a row.
Oof. Wow.
Oh.
Yeah, you can be there a while.
That's good, though. Like, I can never say...
Flagellation?
Flagellation. Self-flagellation.
Yeah. I don't know.
Or you can buy an indulgence.
Yeah, I think we still need to have some sort of system worked out where you can pay to get out of your sin.
You totally can. And
so what does that look like? How do you just write a check or like what?
I think it's you go to the section of the house that's the buffet.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the foods are like not real foods. They're like essentially like indulgences or whatever.
Okay.
And
the treats?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
And everything costs like is really expensive.
Okay.
Yeah, so you buy a lot of expensive desserts.
Yeah, it's something that you buy. I was also thinking you could buy like coins, or you could buy things that like for the house, you know? Like what might decorate the house of Habu? Like you could pay for like a really expensive like stained glass thing or
yeah, how much are like Chihuly blown glass flowers?
yeah, exactly.
this all sounds right.
Yeah. I think there's a water fountain out front with a bunch of coins in it.
Yeah, there's like a Jeff Koons giant balloon.
Yeah, it's like that's like what, like an offering that you pay when you go into the house of Habu. Is you flip a coin into the fountain.
Ding.
Yeah. Good luck. Hmm. Okay, so we've got everything from a polite reprimand, like a tap on the shoulder, like you shouldn't behave in that way, to like forfeiting some of your chips.
Yeah.
To all the way up to expulsion from the house.
Yeah.
And
also like buying your way out of.
You can buy your way out of it.
Yeah.
By purchasing indulgences and decorations for the house.
Yep.
Okay. This all sounds like a pretty solid religious plan.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. It's a good. The house is very strong. I think our house rules are good.
Yeah.
I think it sounds like we're almost ready to bring the house into the real world.
I know, right?
And start spreading the word.
Can't wait.
Yeah, so I think that's what we'll do next week, is we will figure out how to bring the word of Habu to people all over the world, and I think like also what it means to be a Habuist. Are we calling them Habuists?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What it means to be a Habuist, you know? Like what kind of action does that look like in the world?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think we could also say like if you wanted to be a little bit more like on the down low, you know, if you're like in like some sort of like work function,
mm-hmm.
and you want to know if somebody else is a Habuist, you could say like, "Are you a gambler?"
Mm-hmm. And that's like code for
"Do you flip the coin?"
Yeah, do you flip the coin? Yeah. Yeah. You know what I would say if I was a Habuist, which I will be, is one of the things I'll be saying a lot is, "What are the odds?"
That's good. I like that.
That's kind of like, you know, just every time you have in a something lucky or something unlucky, you can exclaim, "What are the odds?
What are the odds?"
Yeah, it's good. It gets now we get a little bit of like a secret society element.
Uh-huh.
I think we'll develop. That'll be fun.
Maybe like in the beginning when we've got to compete with like other religions that might be hostile towards us. But eventually, the House of Habu is going to become so extensive that we're not going to be secret.
No,
we're way out in the open. No.
Way out in the open.
We're going to be forcing other people to follow the house rules and
punishing them really horribly if they don't.
Yeah, we might have sort of like our own version of the Spanish Inquisition. Tune in next week to find out what the House of Habu looks like.
That's
on
right.
Earth.
Yeah. Okay, and that's been our show for today. If you have any other tenets or sins that you think should be incorporated into the Church of Habu, then go ahead and tweet to us or write it to us as a 5-star review on iTunes.
And this week, I think we need to give a special thanks to the head of the House of Habu.
The greatest ape.
The greatest ape of them all. The first thumb of Habu, Abraham Lincoln.
Thanks, Abraham.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. See you next time.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.